Appreciate the message. By the way, kids, if you want to head out with Pastor Josh right now, you can head out to have your time with him. I want to just wrap everything up for the day. You notice both of them centered around a storm, and we didn't match that today here. And I appreciate you making the trek here in the icy roads. It's supposed to warm up and be good as we get out of here. So if I take a couple hours here, it'll be nice and warm and the roads will be cleared. No, I just want to, it presented Christ at Christmas. And I wanted to give you a real picture of what Christ did for you. And I think a lot of people miss out on Christmas, the wonders of it. But I want to give you the backbone of why it's so important we include Christ in Christmas. You know, the verse comes to mind, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what I want to talk to you for a few minutes. But can I paint a picture for you? Just let me take a moment to paint a picture for you so you can see the reality. And I call this the great exchange. But it began, this is the introduction, it began with the earliest recorded incident of biological warfare. In 1347, a Mongolian army besieged a trading post in the Ukraine and catapulted dead bodies of bubonic plague victims over the town walls. The terrified defenders fled to Italy, carrying with them that deadly plague of bacteria. Over the next 3 years, the plague spread throughout Europe, causing a massive epidemic known as the Black Death. Before the epidemic ran its course, an estimated 20 million people died, approximately one-third to one-half of all of Europe's population. Though the Black Death is the most infamous of the epidemics in history, it's not the only one. The influenza epidemic in 1918 and 1919 killed an estimated 30 to 50 million people, and several million more died about the same time at the outbreak of typhus in Eastern Europe. Other infectious diseases such as malaria and yellow fever, AIDS, and in recent time, as we all know, COVID, have also claimed uncounted millions of victims. Those plagues are awful. But this is what I want you to see. There is one plague that is more widespread and more deadly than all those other plagues I just mentioned combined. It affects every person who's ever lived, and it's 100% fatal. Unlike the other plagues, which cause only physical death, this plague causes a spiritual and eternal death as well. We call that the plague of sin. Everybody's a sinner. Because of Adam and Eve's fall, it plunged the entire human race into sin. All people are sinners today. We're sinners by birth. Wherefore, as one man's sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The Bible tells us we're all sinners. Everyone's a sinner. Everyone falls under this plague because we've inherited a sin nature. We're just sinners by birth. But not only are we sinners by birth, we're sinners by choice. James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We've sinned or done wrong at one point or another in our lives. We've all chosen to disobey God by action or attitude or thoughts. And so the inevitable outcome for all those infected by the sin plague is death. That's why Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the plague of sin. It's worse than all the other plagues because it affects everybody. Everybody's a sinner. And as a result of that sin that's in our lives, it produces two spiritual consequences. Not only will, at the end of life, it'll produce death, but two spiritual consequences. One is an alienation from God in this life. You have no relationship with God. You're not a child of God. God is perfect and holy and cannot stand sin. He cannot put up with sin. Not only does it separate you from God in this life, it prepares you for an unrelenting punishment in hell for all eternity. That's the results of sin. But that plague has some good news. That's what I want you to see this morning. The good news is the gospel. There's a cure for any sinner infected by the deadly sin epidemic. God is merciful and loving, and he provided a remedy for our sins. It was the sacrificial death of his son. But that raises some questions to me. How can an absolute holy God reconcile sinners unto us? How can a God who's so just and holy, and he has a holy law, and it demands punishment for all those who violate his law, how can it be satisfied? How can those who deserve no mercy receive mercy? How can God, who upholds true righteousness, how can he still give grace? How can the demands of justice and love be met at the same time? How can God be both just and the justifier of sinners? God had a plan. And if you looked at this verse, and I'm just going to tear it apart real quickly and we're done. The Bible says he hath made him. He hath made. God made a plan. That the he is God the Father. Salvation is his plan. And it cannot take place unless he initiated it. For God hath made. He made a plan for sinners. Sinners cannot devise their own religious approach to God because we're in our debt and our trespasses and sin. And the biggest lie of all false religions is that man can reconcile himself to God by his own efforts. But all those efforts will fail. Not even Israel, God's chosen people, could reconcile themselves. They had a zeal for God at times, but they could never achieve salvation because they sought it through their own righteousness. We call that the religion of human achievement. Man cannot save himself. This salvation can only take place by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that's the plan. For God hath made, he put a plan together for Jesus Christ to go to the cross of Calvary, to be born a man, and I'm going to explain that in just a moment. He had to be born a man, and he came to this earth for one reason, and that was to die for your sins and mine. Jesus would later on, at the age of 33, go to the cross. But Jesus didn't go to the cross because fickle people turned on him, though they did. He did not go to the cross because false religious leaders plotted his death, though they did. He did not go to the cross because Judas betrayed him, though he did. He did not die because an angry mob and an unruly mob intimidated a Roman governor into sentencing him to crucifixion, though they did. Jesus went to the cross simply to fulfill God's plan to reconcile sinners to himself. Only God could design a plan that would satisfy his demands of justice, appropriate his wrath, and be consistent with his love and grace and mercy. It's only God who could conceive a plan in which Christ, being found in the fashion of a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Only God knew what it would take to rescue sinners from darkness and give them life, an eternal life in heaven. Only God could author and execute a plan of redemption to save sinners to himself. Only God could do that. And that's what God did. He made a plan. And that plan was to send Jesus Christ to this earth, born on Christmas Day that we celebrate. He would live a perfect life on this earth for the very reason that one day he would die for your sins to conquer the plague of sin. You see, God had a plan. And here was his plan. And for God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Simply put, this eliminates every human being who ever lived, for there's no man that has not sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one who knew no sin, who could qualify to bear the wrath of God against the sin of others. The perfect sacrifice for sin would have to be a human being, for only a man could die for men. Yet that would have to be a God, because only God can be sinless. So it narrows it down to the field that there was only one who could die for the sins of the world, and that's the God-man, Jesus Christ. The second person, the Trinity, became a man. And the Bible makes it clear that though he had a human mother, Jesus Christ did not have a human father. He didn't inherit a sin nature. for he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And as the God-man, he was perfect one to be the sacrifice for sin. It would fulfill the Old Testament picture of the unblemished sacrificial lamb. The phrase that God made him to be sin for us does not mean that Jesus Christ became a sinner. Christ never sinned. The problem is, or the story says that the Father God treated him as if he were a sinner by charging to his account the sins of everyone. So God made a plan. Here was his plan. Jesus would become sin for us. And he hath made us to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ became sin for you. Let me explain to you just in practical sense what it is. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and God took every sin of all mankind, the Bible says, and placed it upon Jesus Christ. Your sin, your punishment, my sin, my punishment, and he placed it all upon Jesus Christ. And then for 3 hours, God poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ. You ask the question. You may ask the question, why would Jesus do that for you and for me? Because he loved you and he wanted to fulfill his Father's plan. See, God had a plan. When man sinned, God made a plan. Because see, God cannot allow you into heaven with sin. That's the problem. God cannot allow sin into heaven. But we're all sinners. We all have the plague of sin. So God made a plan. And that plan was Jesus Christ would become sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ came to this earth born in a manger, but he came for one reason, and that was to die for you and for me, to take all of our sins upon him. He became sin for us who knew no sin. What a tremendous truth. What a tremendous thought. Jesus Christ dying on the cross did not become evil like we are, nor did we become perfect like he is. But God took all of our sins and placed upon Jesus Christ. He became sin for you. He became sin for me. But here's the amazing part. This is why you can go to heaven. The Bible says he hath made him, God made a plan. Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin. But here's one of the greatest parts that we leave off, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, that's the truth. When Jesus Christ took all of our sin and it was placed upon him on the cross of Calvary, for 3 hours, God poured his wrath, the punishment you and I deserve, upon Jesus Christ. Then here's what he did. He took Jesus' righteousness, and the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, he takes Jesus' righteousness and places it upon you. See, he hath made, God made a plan. And Jesus would become sin for us, take the penalty for our sin, who knew no sin, and that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. See, when the moment you get saved, your sins are covered as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says this, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Micah 17:7, verse 19 says, he will turn and have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Jesus Christ took all your sin upon him. And God poured out his wrath. And the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he takes Christ's righteousness and places it upon you. You see, I'm not perfect. I'm not even good. Because there are none that are good. There are none that are righteous. I try to live a life that glorifies God, but when I stand before God one day, it'll be just as if I'm perfect before him. You know why? Because when I was 12 years old, I asked Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior, and God placed the righteousness of Christ upon me. And when God looks upon me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees Christ's righteousness. That's why one day the sin of plague will take every life. You will die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the reality. But here's the wonderful good news. You can have eternal life in heaven. You say, but God can't allow sin into heaven. That's right. That's why God took Jesus Christ's righteousness. And the moment you get saved, he places it upon you. And he doesn't see the sin. He sees you as being perfect and righteous before him. What a truth. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. That's why in Sunday school, they talked about the Christmas, about Christ. That's why we honor Jesus Christ, because he came as a babe to be born. He had to become a man, because only a man could die for other men. But he was still God, because only God can be sinless. It had to be a perfect sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. And that's why Jesus Christ walked on this earth for 33 years, and they took him to the cross. Oh, they didn't take him to the cross. He put himself on the cross, because that was God's plan. And when Jesus took the wrath of God for your sins, all your sins were forgiven. And God took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and placed him upon you. That's why one day, if you know Christ is your Savior, you've been born again. God doesn't see you as a sinner. He sees you as being righteous. You say, that doesn't sound fair. You're right. It doesn't sound fair. But that was God's plan. There's nothing you can do to attain unto that righteousness. Israel tried, and they failed because they sought it by their own righteousness. It's only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary to take your penalty, your punishment. And when you realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you ask Jesus Christ to save you and to forgive you of your sins, all your sins, past, all of them, folks, present, and all the sins you will commit, future, are all placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. And then God reached down. He took the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the moment you got saved, he placed it upon you. And it's just as if you are perfect in God's eyes today. You say, but Pastor, I'm not perfect. I know, but God sees you as being perfect. That's why one day when you die, he'll open the doors of heaven and you'll go into heaven. He can't allow sin into heaven, but he can allow the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who's covered your sins, and you can have eternal life. That's what this is all about. That's what Christmas is all about, the great exchange. Jesus took your sin and gave you his righteousness, that you could have life eternal. Would you have life eternal this morning? You know, you may have family, and I appreciate all the family that's come to see the kids this morning early, and then the cantata. You could have everything you could ever wanted. But if you don't have Christ, the sin plague will get you, and it'll separate you from God for all eternity. That plague is there. It passed upon all men. You all have it. But there's a cure, and that's Jesus Christ. God had a plan, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I ask you that question this morning, not by how you live, but because of Christ, are you righteous today? Does God see you as being perfect? Oh, you're not. Neither am I. But God sees me that way because I'm born again. I ask Christ to be my Savior. And I know that when I die one day, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven because of the righteousness of Christ that was placed upon me at salvation. Do you know that? I want every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment.